gon' stop me, huh? Who gon' stop me, huh?
Yo! Chapter 44 of Be Positive, the Chicago Stories. I'm your host, Dario. Joined with my boy, my other co-host, Darian Lou. What's happening, y'all? This is the Obama chapter.
Don't call me Darian. Don't call me Darian Lou. That just sounds so...
What?
You call me by my Instagram handle, Darian Lou.
Okay, my bad. My bad. Lou,
Darian.
Wow.
Darian Lou.
Wow. Wow. Look, you
I'm
see.
Sorry, man. You didn't cut your hair yet.
Look.
You didn't cut your hair yet. What I'm upset with you, low key. That's why I'm mad at you.
Ah, man. Hey, look, this is biblical hair. You don't cut this. You know what I'm saying? This is that biblical hair. What you mean? Huh?
You know how it's biblical? It looked like the burning bush.
Oh! 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 I'm dying, y'all. Oh, damn. I'm getting shot up. It's too early for this. We just started. I ain't even say what I normally say. Man, let me get into it. Subscribe to us on all these chapters. I mean, on all these. Look at that. I'm fucking up. Subscribe and listen to us. Look, well, I'm canceling that. We ain't doing that because I done fucked it up. Y'all know what to do. I'm thrown off. Well, welcome to the show, everybody. This is fun and unusual start. No, this ain't unusual.
It's just water in my cup.
Yeah, okay.
I got water. That was just natural, you know what I'm saying? I'm sorry.
It's all good.
Brotherly love on camera.
Look, you got me some kind of, now I'm about to be covering my forehead and shit. I'm about to cover my hairline up, the whole show. I'm about to be...
What'd you say last week about brushing your hair?
Hey, look, I don't do it.
All right. So, my comments are warranted.
It's all good.
Comments are warranted.
It's true. You know what? I go through these phases, though. You know what's phases with me? Sometimes I'm like, yo, I want my shit lined up. And other times I'm just like, nah, it's all good.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm going to look like Harold from the Fat Apple. Come on, man, we got a brand to build. I'm telling you, hey, I know I've been screaming this the last couple weeks, but I'm cutting it off, man.
Yeah, off. I don't believe it now. I don't believe it.
Cut it off, man.
Nah.
Okay. Listen, man, look, me and Stokes going to meet some white people on Thursday. I got
What is going on? This.
I gotta cut it off, bro.
Hey,
cut it off, man. It's got to go.
Hey, for y'all that starting to learn about me and Darian, we groom when we around white people. But when it's other brothers in the room, we just we cool in that.
We got Curtis on today.
We good. We it's comfortable. You know, and my man got on the Cubs hat. Y'all will see. You know, so I'm real comfortable now. You know what's crazy about the Cubs hat that I got? The one that I got out and I'm going to use. I can't even wear my Cubs hat because my hair too big and the hat that I got fits when my hair is cut. You know what I mean? You know, my hat fits when my hair is cut. You there? Are you here?
Okay, we back. Yeah, we back. I was like, y'all froze. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
We back.
Look, here we go. That was the first time we had little technical issues. The first time, I like that.
Yeah, I was like, oh, we froze.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, all right, we good.
Well, I said that my, you know, the Cubs hat. I want to get my Cubs hat, but see, the problem with my Cubs hat is that it only fits me when my hair is cut. So I got like, I can't wear the hat when my hair is a little longer. Like so.
Your hat that tight, man?
I mean, look, I got it sized right. You know what I mean? You know, you walk in the lens, hey, shit. You got to get one side. I can't keep on going back and forth. It ain't no snap. You know? It's one of them authentic joints. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you, man, because with fitted hats, if you lose weight, your head, then it's going to be a problem.
Your shit be swimming around there, boy.
I understand.
It's rough, man. It's rough. Hey, anyway, how you doing, man? You know, what's going on? What is going on?
I'm trying to think of anything significant happened within the last week since we had James Webb on. I don't think nothing really significant happened.
I mean, you had show number two at My Buddies. You know, you had show number two.
Yeah. Show number two at My Buddies. We sold out. Good time. Show number three.
Yeah.
Tomorrow should be hot. We got some new faces to meet. I'm excited for that. Kadima, he hosting tomorrow. So yeah. Me, Kadeem, and TJ are starting to get a rhythm. And, you know, before you build chemistry with people, the easier it is to work and things like that. So, we just in the learning stages, man. But
my man.
It's always a good time, man, My Buddies. You know, you set the precedence with that. And we just trying to ride the wave, man, and keep it going. So, we trying to do some different things, too.
Yeah.
Trying to do some different things and implement some different things. So, it's just building. It's a process.
Yeah.
But it's cool. One thing is cool about it is it's cool being Booker. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's somebody different. It's different.
Somebody. It's cool. Yeah, it's
different. y'all can't see it, but our guest.
It's cool. It's cool. But let me tell you something. Like, everybody know I don't do stand up. That's not my thing.
Yeah.
These motherfuckers will stress you out. Stress you out.
Yeah.
Stress you out.
Yes.
Today was the day. Dean and TJ was like, "Oh, D. Lou ain't fucking around. Like, I'm not messing around with, man. I'm just telling y'all right now. Y'all comics out there, I'm not playing no games with y'all, man. I love y'all.
Let them know.
I'm a nice person. You know what I'm saying? I love y'all. I'm a nice person. I'm a very respectable person. Dario don't know me for 14, going on 15 years. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I'm a respectable person. I love people. I love good energy. You know what I'm saying? But one thing I'm not going to play with is just timely and professionalism, man. You're not going to, We not going to be stressed out over trying to make y'all look good.
Man. Man, let them know. Hey, and this is the perfect chapter to be saying that on because we got another booker. You know, this is another booker on here.
I'm not going to be stressed out trying to make somebody else look good. What the hell I'm going to do that for?
I mean, you
look good. Why I'm stressed out over you?
Yeah, that's a big fact. And y'all did a really nice job. And the cool thing is Saturday Night Lights came back from My Buddies. You know, I kind of, obviously, you all are the first show out the week. And then I come after you all. So it's kind of cool to see what y'all doing. You know, because like I reap the benefits of the TVs being on.
Look, you know what? Something we're going to try this week too, man. I told them last week is that I want to put a like Cash App Venmo or something up there. So if people in the audience want to tip the people, it's kind of like when you did the live streams for a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can put the Cash App and the Venmo at each comedian. So
I like that.
I want to do that since we got the TV screens. Like, you know, somebody in the audience thinks somebody really funny, you can get them an extra couple dollars or something.
Yeah,
so it's just another way for people to make money. So my whole thought process behind that.
That's fantastic. That's dope. That's a good. Hey, keep on innovating, man. Because now that I'm only two days out the month. I'm cool with y'all being innovators. You know what I mean? I'm cool with y'all do what you do because I'm gonna come right in and be like, they did a good job. Let's just go ahead and have a nice man. We talked about it during the morning show.
I was gonna say something about that too, but go ahead.
You go ahead first with the morning because you know I'm about to rant just a little bit.
Hey, listen, I'm gonna just keep it a buck. I listen to / watch the morning show. I probably missed one episode since we've been live, and this is the second week.
Yeah.
But you and Jamal, man, y'all got something good there.
Hey.
Y'all got something good.
Hey.
It's entertaining. it's what I would call a radio. You know, I don't listen to the radio.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be the first to say that.
Yeah.
I hate listening to the radio. But I will listen to y'all, no problem.
Yeah.
If y'all was on WGC or something, and that's not just because y'all homies, but it's entertaining. It's interactive.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I called in this morning, you know what I'm saying, to mess with y'all, because you just don't know what you was on this morning.
Hey, look.
He says schmucks, and I never heard him say the word schmucks. Schmucks out here.
Hey.
Schmucks.
Hey, let me tell you something. Hey, people, let's talk about it. You know what I mean? Y'all want to act a fool on my post on Friday. I don't think I forgot about that. No. Don't think y'all done forgot about how y'all was wilding out. You know what I mean? For those that don't know, I didn't spoil shit. All right? Like, I didn't spoil shit. I didn't spoil a damn thing. Y'all little boy.
What I wanted to say this morning is, and, you know, I was on my way to work when I called in real quick, but I'm like, you didn't even spoil the thing.
I didn't even spoil it.
It's not something that we... It's not even something that we already weren't alluding to, first of all, what you said. We were already alluding to that because we were talking about setting up House of M and all of that
stuff. Right, right.
But all it was somebody from the old movies.
Yeah.
They finally merged them together and they popped up on screen. We still don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Wanda could just have a... She could be having a bad dream and slice his head off right in front of us and then we just kill all any speculation.
Yeah.
But it's like... Everybody was like, oh, you spoiled. I'm like, eh.
And?
Because I, low key, I was like, damn, why this nigga say that? And then when I saw it, I was like, oh, that wasn't even no
spoiler. It wasn't no spoiler. Here's the thing. It's not even a spoiler. Here's the thing that I think that people should know me by now. Name another time that I've ever done some shit like that to y'all. I got a track record. It's pretty clean. You know what I mean?
was it Game of Thrones?
Man, fuck Game of Thrones, man. Fuck Game of Thrones and everything that shit is. I don't care. Like, yeah. Fuck it. You know, Game of Thrones can go straight to hell. It could go back to Westeros or wherever the hell it's from. I don't care. Look. And the thing is, I never even spoiled Game of Thrones, and I can't even stand that shit. I've never done that. So why people thought all of a sudden I just went rogue and like spoiled it for everybody? I was like, what the hell? This is out of control. And the crazy part is the people probably were like, oh, fuck. Dario spoiled it. You know what I mean? Said the X-Men were going to be there. Then they probably went looking for the X-Men and never saw them. So now, realistically, what I did was I made the show better for you. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Let me tell y'all something, man. You know what? One day we're going to get into Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
How excited you were when Game of Thrones was on and you was binging it and you was like, oh, I'm going to get to the finale before you. And now, it's just in the trash.
Hey, look, people, I don't want you to get it confused. Darian don't lie. He don't lie. At one point, you know, I fucked with it. Matter of fact, we went to New York. I binged it. I told my mans in the airport. This is a true story. I said, I'm going to catch up. And I think I was like 2 seasons behind them. By the time we got back a season behind. By the time we got back from New York, between the plane and the walking and the dead space, I caught up. And I made it. Matter of fact, I made it the day of the debut of the last episode. I had caught up by then, and I watched it live with everybody. Yeah. So, at one point, I was dedicated, but you know what? When motherfuckers want to play games with me, fuck the whole thing, you know what I mean? Fuck the establishment, I don't care. Fuck HBO, fuck Warner Brothers, fuck everybody that got something to do with that.
A White Walker.
Yeah, fuck swords. fuck shields. Fuck everything. I don't like Allegra's castle. I don't like Enchanted castle. I don't like Super Mario.
Eureka's castle.
I don't like Super Mario's castle. I don't like shit.
White Castle.
What? I don't like White Castle. this is goodness. All right. Okay. You know what? Because I can tell you one thing I do like. I like, I guess, coming up for a couple reasons. I like him for a couple reasons, which we're going to find out. But one of the big reasons is, he can confirm some shit for us. He can confirm, and when he talking, I'm gonna put my feet up, I'm gonna sit back, I'm gonna let the man speak, alright? I'm gonna get this black man on stage, you know what I'm saying? And the whole time, I'm going to look in the camera like this.
I might have to start calling Curtis 50 or something.
Hey, for real. Yeah. 50. What up, 50?
You know what? He looked like Denzel Washington's son. That's what.
Ooh, that's good. That's what. Yeah. Don't it? Yeah. Don't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Straight up.
Okay.
Like Denzel Washington's son. Ballers. Ball.
Let's go. Hey, that's funny. Hey, that's funny. Hey, before we get to him, did you see Denzel Washington's new movie that came out on HBO? Did you see it?
No, I heard it was terrible.
Man, look, let me tell you, Denzel.
And that's your dog.
That's my dog. You know that, man. That's my favorite actor of all time. And let me tell you, man, it was a dud. I watched. Hey,
let me tell you something. It ain't gonna be no worse than that Queen Latifah show, oh, The Equalizer. Oh, I can, yeah, tell you that shit.
Yeah, yeah. So, I didn't even get out a chance. Was it good?
No. Hey, do you see the Super Bowl commercials? They was like, The Equalizer, and it's the Queen.
It came on after, right? Yeah, it came on after. I cut that shit off.
I won't know how the shit is because I didn't watch it. I mean, I can tell you. It's probably on the same part with the damn Denzel movie.
Damn. I don't know why they had Denzel. Denzel looked like a fucking janitor the whole movie. I mean, like, what? He had that janitor body. It looked like his name was Otis. I mean, like, look, that's my dog, man. But I don't know if that was I don't know if my man had a pillow in that shirt or what. Or why was he bow-legged? Look, first of all, we ain't never seen him like that.
Maybe he played the part so well that we was convinced it was trash.
Look, don't nobody, Denzel don't play trash as like that. Like, that's, come on, man. Nope.
I'm gonna have to watch it for myself.
Bruh, like, uh-uh. Like, my man, and it was, I don't know, watch it for yourself. Y'all, I love Denzel, but this ain't it. This is not it. Anyway, we ready. That's enough of us talking. Let's get into it, man. Well, not yet. We gotta run my favorite ad. This is the best ad in the history of ads, y'all. Y'all are gonna be. This could have been on the Super Bowl, and I promise you. When you listen to this, I'm a fan of this now, Darian.
It must be something different.
No,
it's gotta be.
No, it's not. I gotta change your heart.
Did you hit your head?
Nope. No, man. I just.
You don't see.
It's nothing different. I'll be honest. I just like it now. Here we go.
You tired of getting ridiculed.
Yeah. I changed my mind immediately. That shit is embarrassing. That is embarrassing, though. That is. Okay.
It goes with the theme of the first season. That's what it is.
Right. It don't even have the same music.
It's fine, man. We're going to record something different just to use on Facebook.
Yeah, just to use on Facebook. Y'all.
Because I'm not. Yeah, that's what we
do.
Come on, 50. Where you at, 50?
50. Denzel. Young Denzel in the house. Y'all. Chapter 44. The Obama number. Y'all, welcome to the show. Mr. Curtis Shaw. Flag, everybody.
Curtis Washington.
Curtis Washington. What's up, my brother? How you doing?
I had to play that Rock La Familia.
Hey, let's go. Rock Boys in building tonight.
Two things. You said I was going to confirm something. I will confirm that Black Panther will make an appearance in WandaVision.
Oh, let's go. Spoiler alert.
Black Panther, they taped it. They taped it years ago. They taped it last year. So there you go. You hear it first.
Let's go.
That's another plug for the show.
Spoiler alert.
Two things. Fuck Jon Snow. Fuck Jon
Sam. Yes! Yes!
Fuck John
Rain,
fuck John Hill.
Yes.
Fuck John Hardwin.
Fuck
John Lakeaffect.
Let's go.
Fuck John Snow again.
Fuck him. You know what I'm saying?
Fuck John Arctic Blast.
Yes. Oh, finally. Somebody came. Oh my goodness, Darius, somebody came on here and had the same energy as me. What's up? Thank you.
Listen, I only watched the last two seasons of Game of Thrones. I ain't watched none before it. Because it kind of popped off like the last two. I mean, it was popular, I give you some. But then the last two seasons, my wife and I, she had watched the whole thing. So I just was asking her 100 questions throughout the episode. I'm like, who is he? Like, what? Okay, so like he got here doing what? So she had to pause it. And she's like, so this is, you know, he fell out of a window and broke his legs and so now I'm in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
So now I, for the rest of my life, I can never get mad if my wife asks like a million questions about a show I'm caught up on because of the pause frequency that she had to do for two seasons. So I'm like, like, why is he so short? Why is he so small? Like, is he a dwarf or is he a midget? Like, that's what I was trying to figure out. You know what I'm saying? So.
See, I'm telling you, man, this is, look, I'm set this whole show. This is it. This is literally over four seasons. This is all I wanted.
I'm going to keep it a buck with y'all, okay? I like Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
But if I could have took Curtis's route, I probably would have because I'm never watching this shit again.
Ever.
Like,
ever.
Like that. I'm never watching it again. So if I could have skipped a couple of seasons.
Right? No.
Yeah, I'm not watching that.
What? It's supposed to be a spinoff? Yeah. Nah.
I ain't watching that, though.
Nope, swerve.
I gave her spinoffs after Power Book 2, which shout out to Brandi DeBee. She's in that joint.
That's
I'm
right.
I'm good on spinoffs now.
Good. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah,
I think what was a spinoff that was better than the original?
Ooh. That's what I'm wondering. Ooh, that's a good question.
Better than the original.
Ooh, I don't know if they're Super Mario 3 was better than Super Mario 2.
I haven't seen this, but there's somebody that says Better Call Saul is on par.
I was thinking that, but I ain't seen it. Family Matters was actually a spinoff of Perfect Strangers. So
yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Now, Winslow was like an elevator, so you could say. I mean, that's like the only one.
Yeah, that's like the only one.
I don't know. I gotta check it out.
Hey,
I only watched the last two episodes of Breaking Bad.
What?
Oh my god!
Oh,
I skipped to the end of the book. That's how I do.
My man be skim reading the TV shows.
Oh my god, Curtis! I don't know what type of person you are, man. I'm trying to figure it out. Trying to figure it out. Yeah, from what I see on the outside, you very ambitious. You a go getter, but you a lazy motherfucker when it comes to TV, man. Man.
Honestly, if the quarantine would have been the past 5 years, I'd have watched all that shit. I'd have burnt through so many Netflix. I'm watching BBC films now. British Network films.
British.
I can only see y'all in the comments. Nah.
Hey.
The British Network. Acorn TV is like the British Netflix, basically.
Yeah.
And so I'd have burnt through all them. Subtitle shows. I'm on Brazil now, France.
Damn!
Who got a TV show that I need to watch?
Damn! Hey, that's pretty. Where the hell are you watching Brazilian TV at?
It's just once you go through Netflix, it'll start kind of genreing by the country. All the Brazilian TV shows. And they'd be kind of, you know, it'd be like how The Office had a you know, like a Western United, like a American version of the one the original Ricky Gervais wrote.
Yeah.
And so I'm basically just watching international versions of television shows that were popular in the United States.
Well, I heard it here first. It is very possible for you to watch all of Netflix. Curtis done did it.
Yeah, he done did it. I didn't even know they had other countries to look at. I didn't even know.
Yeah, I mean, it ain't good, but you ain't got nothing else to watch.
Yeah, that's true. The British cooking shows be good though. Those be good. Like honestly, I fuck with them heavy.
The Bake Off.
Yeah,
the Great British Bake Off.
Yes, exactly. That's the one specifically. Darian was like, "Look, I don't fuck with none of that."
I don't know what the hell y'all talking about. The only British
check that out. He like, you know what?
The only British thing from BBC films or that like America or whatever is Luther with Idris Elba. That was a good show.
That's actually
funny enough, good. I haven't watched that yet.
Yeah, Luther is a good.
People told me it was trash though. It was.
Nah, it was pretty good. I liked it. It's decent. Yeah.
See, yeah. we got to check it out, man. Curtis, let's get into it, man. We know about your TV habits and everything, but let's tell the people who you are, man. Give them a little rundown of who you are, man. What you about?
Who am I? You know, I ask myself that question every day.
It's a good question to ask.
I am. Well, currently, I am the president of operations of Laugh Factory Chicago, senior manager of external relations and marketing at Open Books. I had a radio show on WBZ Vocalo.
Okay.
Called Hashtag with Jill Hopkins, who is incredible. Some kind of transition there. So we're starting something different there that we're going to work on. Might have an announcement later on in the show about that and some other things.
Okay. We're here for it.
I'm a wonderful husband, father to a 1-year-old Cavalier poodle puppy named Maple Butters.
Maple Butters?
Maple Butters. She is the sweetest. She might make an appearance before the end of the show, but yeah, man. Currently, just surviving like the rest of us. You know, I'm a COVID survivor.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, battled that. Fought the great battle of 2020.
Man,
came out on top.
Yeah. Hey, that's a
15 pounds lighter. You know what I'm saying?
Woo.
15 pounds lighter. I'm saying, I'm feeling good about myself.
You lost 15 pounds.
I feel like the ante, like that.
Wow. You know what? TJ lost that much. Say that again.
Word. Yeah, I'm doing it. Either eat raw chicken or get COVID. Quick his way to lose.
He said, either eat raw chicken or get COVID. Man, all you gotta do is go over to some white person's house. You might be able to eat the raw chicken. Hey, look at there.
My wife is white, and I made the undercooked chicken.
No! You know, chicken ain't.
I thought I was.
It's not as easy as a lot of people might think it is, man. You know what I'm saying? You can easily undercook
it. You want to cook it right, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of two ways, right? You know, undercook it or overcook it, but you want to get it, you know, in that sweet spot,
yeah.
That juicy spot. But I feel like it's really hard for juicy, you know what I'm saying,
yeah.
Chicken, because that juice could be just salmonella.
Oh, this is nasty.
Yo, since you know, the COVID hit, like, I really never cooked before the pandemic. So once the pandemic hit, I was like in there, Chef Boyardee, like
Chef Boyardee,
just on, dude, wrist game on point. So I was basically cooking every night, and you know, my wife actually has had a traumatic experience with chicken in the past, where she had some chicken at a restaurant, got food poisoning. So she had kind of been off it. It's got to be cooked like. Perfect, you know what I'm saying, for her. She will dissect it. She'll open it, look at it, put a little magnifying glass up to it, you know what I'm saying? Take a sample, put it in a petri dish, make sure there ain't no bacteria. So finally, I whipped up some, like, maybe a week before that was flame. So I'm like, all right, we're going to try a different version, you know what I'm saying? A little chicken salt and vodka, you know what I mean? So, like, I got everything together, you know what I'm saying? Put it all together, and I put it in the oven. I bake it. I had it in the stove, and then I put it in the oven, and I was like, you know what? Let me pull it out just like, just overcooked it a little bit before, so like just a little early, let it kind of sit and kind of cook, and I thought I had it, and I didn't have it.
Oh no, no, hey.
Listen, if you tune in right now on Facebook Live, or if you just so happen to fast forward the podcast and you get to this point where three niggas just talking about chicken, this is not what we're going to do. So I just put that out there, you know what I'm saying? Just in case somebody just tuned in, start watching, or you fast forward to the first 30 minutes of the podcast, and you're like, is these three niggas on here talking about chicken? This all they're going to talk about? Is watermelon next? They're going to talk about that? No, this is not what we're doing. Okay, it just happened to come up that we talk about chicken. That's it. Okay, so I'll just put that out there right now. Let's move on.
I'm a bad guest. That was all me.
He asked Curtis about himself, and somehow
chicken.
We talk about chicken.
Like,
come on. Come on, let's not go back to our roots here, fellas. Let's act a little different today. All right.
You know, I'm standing in my square. Who am I? I'm a chicken man.
Own it. That's funny. I'm glad Darian stopped because I was definitely about to keep condoning the shit. I was about to be like, tell me more about the chicken.
You start licking your lips. She told about you gotta get your chicken juicy. Dario like, oh yeah? Hey man, I could go for some chicken right now. Like, come on, man.
Hey, come on. Hey, Darian like to say, I'm ghetto. Shit, I do it. I'm ghetto. I'm ghetto. I fucking love this shit.
Hey. Laugh Factory, Open Books, really kind of flex the two of those, you know, for profit, non-profit has kind of always been, you know, my two true passions. And, you know, we'll probably get into it, but started literally at the bottom at both, worked my way up. And so, you know, that's how I am. Before you today.
Yeah, there you go. We definitely gonna get into the social works and the non-for-profit stuff, but you know, I think people with the elephant in the room, people want to talk about, they want to know what's up with the comedy thing. So Darian, you want to go ahead and take us down the path real quick?
Yeah, so tell us how you got into, I just learned before we got on offline, we were talking, and I just learned that you did stand-up before. So is that how things started for you? Is that how you got to this point, or where did we get the birth of Curtis into this comedy scene?
No, I didn't start the path doing stand-up. I actually started the path writing. Mm. And not comedy. Writing for Tribune. It was kind of like on the early days of blogging when, you know, print media started to die.
Yeah.
People started to, you know, consume content online. So the Chicago Tribune started a blog site. It was kind of like the first of its kind, past Blogspot, WordPress. So ChicagoNow.com was kind of like an early stage blog site under the Tribune umbrella. And I had actually just recently lost my job. I was working for a place called Fermilab. Mm. My original degree was in biology. Wow. So I came, moved to Chicago, started working for Fermilab out by Batavia on a project that was testing faster than light neutrinos passing through space. So we were simulating the process. I was a software engineer, basically. My degree was in bioinformatics, so we would engineer programs that would use basically to test these particles that were passing through. The theory was faster than the speed of light, so we were trying basically formulate an algorithm that was clocking them in the small margins of error. You're talking about hundreds and hundreds of thousands of milliseconds that you would have to kind of clock these for. So it was me and a big research team, and the government cut funding for the program. The program was brought over from Japan. There was a big nuclear meltdown at the facility in Japan, and CERN, which is a governing body, brought that particular project over to the United States, to Fermilab to be exact. And so, yeah, they hired a bunch of research analysts and scientists to work on this project. I got the gig like fresh out, lasted about a year, got the axe. Now I'm out in the world trying to figure out what am I going to do with a major that nobody really gives a shit about. But kind of realized in that time that I needed to do something. Mm-hmm. I was in the city that I love. I always wanted to live in Chicago. So I just kind of started working on in stuff like Best Buy, Columbia Sportswear, you know what I'm saying? Like retail gigs, because I still got to pay rent, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So in the midst of all that, I was always writing. I would actually just write for myself. I would write articles, like kind of based off of like what I would read in the paper. So I would like watch a Bears game and I would just summarize it.
Whew. Yeah, that had to be.
I would write poems. Yeah. I would write all kinds of like just whatever came to my mind, I would like write down.
Wow.
And I write stories, short stories, stuff like that. And then I was like, man, I just want to put this up somewhere. So I started a Blogspot account. I think it was like basically, it was like off Google.
Yeah.
And when I saw that the Tribune was basically launching this blog site, I reached out to the editor and was like, yo, let me be down. I'm a writer. I was like, I've never been to school for it, but I want to do it. And he was like, well, keep writing on your blog site. get a year in. I'll see how many pieces you have written, and I'll kind of like look at it, audit it, and see if this is something I want to bring to the site. So I wrote for a whole year. I think I wrote like 70 or something like that. Wow. And then I kind of pitched it to him. I had like, I did an award show that I called the Wendy's, and it was like a sports and philanthropic award.
That's fire.
Yeah. And so like, I just made up all these kind of creative things. And so I pitched it to him, and I think he just wanted me to just like keep writing for the practice.
Yeah.
And not so much of like, you know, a resume, so to speak. So I sent it in to Jimmy Greenfield, who actually just recently left Chicago now. And so I joined the team, and there's a lot of people that actually wrote that were in my class, I call it, that started there, that are like doing great things right now, writing for really big outlets, or, you know, celebrities kind of in their own right, Xavier Pope, Jack Silverstein, Scott King. So Scott King actually is a stand-up comedian. And Scott King was the original MC at Laugh Factory when they first opened. So they had actually hired him because he knew the city, he knew the comics, he kind of knew, you know, what was going on. So when Jamie opened the club, they really leaned on him to bring in talent, the local talent, you know, and comics that were kind of doing, you know, stuff in the city.
Yeah.
And so he was like the house MC, the booker, all that. So I would go to the club and just kick it and hang out and whatever. And another one of the writers just happened to be the GM who came from Los Angeles to Chicago, and she started an anonymous blog. And so, you know, they had a marketing person that had ended up like quitting or something like that. So she was, we were just like out for drinks talking. She was like, yeah, we just like lost our marketing person, trying to get our social media off the ground. You know, and I'm like, well, I love social media. I know everything about it. Didn't go to school for it, much like the blogging.
Yeah.
It's like, ain't nobody hiring me for what I went to school for. So she actually let me start as the marketing intern. And I was basically there every night taking pictures of the comedians, convincing them all to get a Twitter account. Because I was like, you got to get a social media presence. You got to build that social media presence. That's how you get your followers, and you could be big. And I wasn't wrong. But I was also just like, just get an account. You know, I was like, start a fan page. And, you know, so every night I was taking pictures and basically forcing them to get a social media account so I could tag them like in the posts, you know, that I would make.
Yeah.
And I called it like live posting. So during the show, every time they went on stage, I'd take a picture, tag them, take a picture, tag them. And it's like, what's going on at Laugh Factory? Laugh Factory Live, Laugh Factory Live. So that was great. And once I really got my foot in the door, you know, doing that, I had always had a passion for stand-up. I love stand-up. My like bloodline is related to Richard Pryor. So my family always really pushed stand-up. I always, you know, I actually knew Richard Pryor as an actor, not so much as stand-up. So then I kind of, Red Fox and George Carlin, like those were the comedy albums that I would actually listen to. And they actually had a dual album together. And that was like my first glimpse into Richard as a stand-up. And then Def Comedy Jam, obviously, and, you know, Comic View and, you know, First Amendment, all, you know, that kind of came after. It was like all I wanted to watch every night. I'd sneak in the living room with my uncles and them and like watch it. So that was, you know, already something that was in the back of my mind as a passion. But once I got my foot in the door at Laugh Factory, it was a wrap.
Yeah.
Like I had been to, you know, Jokes and Notes. I had been to Crackers in Indianapolis when I was in college, and, you know, comedy clubs, you know, kind of across the country, and just enjoying it as a spectator. But probably a little bit more than most, because I would always want to go to Crackers when I was in. I actually saw Dustin Diner, rest in peace.
Oh,
saw
wow.
Him at Crackers in Indianapolis my freshman year of college, and a dude in the audience kept yelling, "Screech! Screech!" like in the middle of his set, and was heckling him. And you could tell he was getting frustrated, and then maybe like halfway through, he took the mic out the cord and just chucked it at the dude. He missed him. He threw the mic at the dude and like missed the guy. The dude picked up a bottle, threw it at Dustin Diamond, and then stormed the stage.
Whoa.
They got like the tussling. And I don't know if they didn't have like security. The way it worked was like they'd take your ticket and take your ID.
Yeah.
And I don't think they really had like security walking the floor. Because you would imagine, like, you guys have been, you know,
yeah,
you know, Dart, I know you know. Like, if somebody's heckling, usually at some point in time, security comes in.
They walking up.
And is like, warns or something. Yeah. But it went on for like 20 minutes. It was just yelling, yelling. And for, in the beginning, people were kind of like, oh, okay, he did it. And then it got annoying and nobody was there to mitigate it. So anyway, they got the squabbling and like ultimately it got broken up by the guy that was in the front. But I definitely saw Dustin Diamond throw hands. But yeah, once I started, at the, you know, at the club, Jamie Masada, who's the owner of Live Factory, really kind of took a real like keen liking to me, and I mean even to this day has really shown me the behind the scenes business. So I started as an intern, then I started doing box office, then I started doing sound, then I started, you know, served for a second, did bartend for a second, you know, hosted.
Yeah.
Then worked in the office in like the kind of back end admin. Then I started night managing. Then ultimately BK became the manager and GM. So really just methodically each step of the way, just like a little piece of the business. But while I was doing that, especially when I was doing sound, myself, Dior, who was another sound person at the Laugh Factory at the time, ended up going to LA and joining their video team. And Matt Sciaramonte, who lives in Chicago now, is a stand-up comic. We all started doing comedy together because people would go out, you know, after the shows to open mics. Like, everybody, comics in Chicago hustle 24/7. So comics would usually do a set and then they would like bounce to, you know, Town Hall Pub or Shuba's or wherever and do an open mic. So we were like, man, let's like, and we would go and just watch the mic for the most part. Then after a while, I was like, man, we should do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, we should kind of have like our little thing. We go out and do mics. So for like a year and a half, 2 years, I was going out maybe like 3 to 4 nights a week doing open mics. And I'm glad there's no video.
I was trash.
I can definitely say it. But in me being trash, I really kind of gained a different perspective on comedy. I was already a fan. I was already, you know, a fanatic. I was like a geek about it. Still am a geek about it. But I got a different perspective from being on stage and just seeing, you know, people assume that they know, like, I'm funny, I could be a comic. You know what I'm saying? And you see people try and fail. I try and fail for a very long time. and really got to see in number one, the support group of the city and the scene, if you want to call it that, and how, you know, people who didn't know who it was, didn't know that, you know, maybe I worked at Laugh Factory or whatever, were, you know, coming up after sets and being like, hey, you know, you kind of had something there. Maybe if you said this instead of that, you know, real collaborative, real supportive, you know, friendly, you know, ultimately. Yeah. But that was very early on in, you know, my time at Laugh Factory. So I got a dose of that. And then as I started doing more behind the scenes, kind of administrative work and learning business, I figured out that I did not want to be on the stage. I wanted to be kind of behind the scenes in the business of comedy and learning more about the business of comedy. Yeah. So I kind of faded away. And then once I started booking, when the general manager, we kind of went through two general managers, like whenever I started, one left and then the other one kind of took her place. And then when she ultimately decided that she was going to transition out, it was almost like a no-brainer. It seemed like everyone knew it but me. I was gonna take her. So she kind of tied me the ropes. Jamie kind of continued, you know what I'm saying, to take me under his wing and kind of show me, you know, the business side. And then one day she posted that she was leaving and I was taking over, which I had not known.
She knew I
would take it in a heartbeat anyway.
Yeah.
So she just kind of was like, trial by fire, here you go.
Wow.
And I had like, I don't know, 120 friend requests. Ever since then, it's been, you know, it's been great. Continuing to try to push the comedy culture forward.
That's one hell of a story, man, because like that's literally, I always find it interesting. You know, me and Darian, we've done, this is number 54s, I think. We've heard the similar story, you know what I mean, of starting at the bottom and kind of working your way up. But what I find interesting is, I always find one thing, Darian also, you went through comedy. You wanted to, you tried stand-up and at some point said, No, I can't do it. Look, I'm going to be honest with you, man. I think even if I really sucked at comedy, because I like it so much, I think I would still would have been like, nah, fuck that, I'm doing this. You know what I mean? Like, but to be able to, yeah, kind of, you know, how tough was that to take a step back from that reality and say, this is my lane? You know what I mean?
Not at all. Not at all. Hard at all. It was, you know, when you know, you know.
Yeah.
I don't even really think I approached doing stand-up, like, thinking that I was going to make something of it. Like, I was already kind of cool. Like, I was still in the process of learning it behind the scenes. I was kind of new. But I said I was a writer. I was once I started there, I was just writing jokes. Like,
yeah.
I wasn't writing sports anymore. I wasn't writing kind of, like, POV. It was jokes.
Yeah.
I got, like, three joke books filled before I even did my first mic.
Yeah.
I had three joke books filled before I even thought about doing a mic. Wow. So I had been writing bits just because I'm up there. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, that's actually kind of funny when I'm thinking of something or out and about. You know what I'm saying? I started carrying it with me. So I was kind of being like a I was playing comic.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when I started actually putting together, you know, 3, 5, and then 15 minutes was the longest that I'd ever done. Mm-hmm. I only did it once. But, you know, once I, you know, putting all that together, it was more, looking back, it almost seemed like I was doing a case study. You know what I'm saying? Just seeing what it was like. But.
Oh, that's funny.
But when I knew that it wasn't for me, I did a mic. It was at a place called Four Trays that doesn't do an open mic there anymore. But Jeff Markieri and Jeff Sheen were the hosts of Four Trays.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty popular mic, you know, for a while. You know how the mics go. Ebb and Flows was like the popular mic everybody was at.
Yep.
It was like at the height.
Ride that wave. Trays,
I would say. Yeah, so it was at the height of Four Trays. I'm doing the mic. And I don't know. I had this bit about my cat. Because I had adopted a cat at the time, and it was about, like, my cat was like a drug dealer. Those kind of and I'm telling this joke, it's kind of whack. Just like the premise, I thought was hilarious. Like, just like, you know what I'm saying? But I wasn't able to figure it out.
Deliver, yeah.
So I've been tagging and trying to figure out what to do. And so this was like maybe the second or third time I'd even did it. And I had like a weird laugh, and I was like, why are people laughing at this shit? And in my mind, I was like, oh, they know I'm gonna take over. So I faded away. It's hard booking, because we were talking about D-Lou, when you was talking about, you know, I'm booking now, and then I gave the thumbs down, because it's great. It's actually the most fun part about really the experience is curating a live experience.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's like booking anything, music, comedy, you know, it's fun putting together the kind of like symphony of comedy. And it's like, okay, I'm gonna start here, middle here, and then end here. That's great if you didn't have to worry about the floodgates opening of just like trying to satisfy, trying to appease, and trying to, like, you know, help people's, you know, livelihoods, you know what I'm saying? Beyond just like helping them with their craft, like, we pay. So, you know, people are relying on, you know, getting spots for money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so X amount of spots means X amount of money, you know, and then working, you know, this schedule, which is a gift and a curse, I guess I'll say. It's not all bad being able to do that for people. But you know what I'm saying? Like, when you're trying to do comedy too.
Yeah.
I applaud the people who are able to do, you know, both at the same time. But, like I said, that only given kind of the time frame when all that happened, I knew what I wanted to do. It wasn't so much that, like, I, you know, just a passion for doing stand-up. I was like, no, I am going to take over the Laugh Factory. This is a huge opportunity. Like, you know, the not only just the history and the brand, but, like, in the, you know, one of the most major markets in the United States, in Chicago.
Yeah.
City of Chicago, Merrick Comedy Club. I'm running that joint. Yeah. I'm black.
I was just about to say, black man.
You know what I'm saying? Like, all of that together really was like, it got me geeked. And I was like, okay, this is an opportunity that, A, I can't blow. I gotta do it right. And kind of from that point on, I was like geared up and focused on just running a business, trying to make it the best business I could make it. Saying goodbye to stand-up was not hard. So I was like, A, I'm trash at it. B, I'm not really, even if I popped off and got really famous, like, I just didn't, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, I didn't want to be a stand-up, but I love stand-up.
Yeah.
It was just, like, not that part of stand-up that I was in love with.
That's, I mean, that's good recognition. That's good recognition. I mean, like, it takes a lot for a person to do that. You know what I mean? Like, it's for anything. Not just this, but, you know, for anything. Just to recognize, man, I'm better suited here. You know what I mean? This is where my passion is, man. Yeah. That's commendable, too. You know what I mean? Like, that's commendable. You know what I mean? Dude, you guys...
I recognize I was trash. Like, I never even... Year two, when I got into the second year, I had five minutes that I knew. You know what I'm saying? It was like... It was okay. You know what I'm saying? I get... If it was in front of strangers, you know what I'm saying? Not anybody I knew, not other comics, just like a unique audience. Yeah. I get some... Okay, let's see. I was also a clean comic, randomly. I didn't even try to be. It just, like, when I was looking at my... I was like, damn. I was like, I was a clean comic. I was like... The most risque joke that I had was my cat was a drug dealer, which even on the surface of that sounds corny. Sounds corny as fuck.
I want to hear it. Edgy. I want to hear the cat joke at some point, man.
I think one day I'm just gonna pop up again at a mic and just go like, it'll be a while, maybe this year, I don't know, maybe sometime, distant future. But when they, the day that Dr. Dre drops Detox, I'm done.
Hey. Put it down, y'all. Y'all heard it. You heard it first, right here. You
heard it first.
that's one of the first bombs on the show today. That's one of the bombs.
Curtis, I want to know what kind of got you into, because you said you learned the behind the scenes. Like, what behind the scenes, like, really, like, caught your eye or, like, captivated you to say, oh man, like, this behind the scenes part is definitely where I want to be.
It's a good question. I don't know. Like, the business of comedy is so unique and to me intriguing. Like, you have the live entertainment side, you have the bar side, and then you have kind of the customer service side intertwined, which is actually interesting because of the fact that, like, we're going through this pandemic, and for, like, live theater and live entertainment, it falls into this gray category, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you look at the restrictions, like, you have entertainment venues, you have bar and restaurant, and then you have this, like, weird middle, which is, like, stand-up comedy. Doesn't quite fall in just a bar or restaurant, doesn't quite just fall into live entertainment, because it features both, right?
Right.
So, you know, inventory, partnerships, marketing, sponsorship, and then you got show production, booking, and you know what I mean? Like, kind of everything that's encompassed in that. And then you have all the HR and, like, staffing and putting together a team and, you know, making sure that each of those things are connecting and flowing right, because without one, really kind of the other fails, right?
Yeah.
You have shitty service, no matter how the shows are, people aren't going to come back. You got great service and great, you know, inventory control, then the shows suck, then people don't come. So you got all of these different elements. And for me, the marketing part of just, like, getting people to come out to a show in a showcase format, because you are ultimately giving relatively, like, no-named comics, so people that are basically a TV credit removed from being popular, platform.
Yeah.
To perform in front of 300 to 350 people on a nightly basis like they are a headliner, right?
Yeah.
And like I said, one of the most major markets in the country, super unique. LA and New York a little different because there's so much industry there that any night you got Chris Rock, any night you got D'Elia, any night you got these people. I just said one cancel comic.
Yeah, it's okay. It's all right. Comic,
but you have, you know, these, you know, kind of... cheat codes, I'll call them.
Yeah.
And it's not like that necessarily because we're not a headliner club. So you have this weird way of using the brand, using Laugh Factory, using kind of its credibility to draw in your audience, and then you kind of provide the experience kind of from there to gain retention. You know what I'm saying? And me, I'm an analytical nerd, so I'm in the backside to see, like, what drives traffic to the website, what pulls people in that could otherwise do 100 other things in the city.
Right.
In the summertime, you got Cubs games, you got beaches, you got patios, you got rooftops, you got street festivals, you got music festivals, you got all these things. Like, what draws people into seeing stand-up comedy specifically because you got Second City and you got IO and you got, so you got all of these things that you are competing against ultimately for their attention.
Yeah. That's...
But then you got over, you know, 3+ million people who live in the city, and then another million plus that are coming in from outside of the city for tourism, right? Yeah, so like yeah, all of these things I personally thought were more interesting. And it's like P&L, you know, weighing like how much you spend to how much you lose, you know, doing numbers and things like that. So all that shit to me was way more interesting. And running a business, even with like the mind to maybe one day run one of my own, you know, opening up my own club, opening up my own business. So getting that license, you know, keys from Jamie, ultimately to be able to do that and trusting me to do it. Somebody that, I mean, he's put 40 plus years, almost 50 years of sweat equity into building a global world famous brand.
Yeah.
And he's letting me, you know what I'm saying? Like me hold it down and one of their newest markets, you know what I'm saying? So all of that, you know, kind of the motivation, the pressure, the, you know, everything kind of together, I think really is what kept me and keeps me on my toes. It's like the next phase, like literally and figuratively, coming back out of another shutdown in the pandemic. Before, it was like we kind of knew our algorithm of success. Like the winter months were great, the summers were kind of low, and then the fall and spring were kind of, you know, just idle.
Yeah.
Now, it's like, what the fuck?
because you don't know where to go.
Do people got enough money?
Yeah.
Do people got enough money for a disposable income? You know, like now it's, you know, staffing and, you know, bringing people off back off unemployment. Is it worth their time? Is it worth their money? Like all of these things, you know, do people, because we sprinkle headliners, but we're not a headliner club. Is it worth it to bring headliners in with just 50 seats?
Yeah.
You know, all of these, you know, you're just kind of playing a new game.
Yeah.
But, you know, it raises the stakes a little bit, you know, because there's a lot of people's livelihoods at stake. You know, when we shut down, you know, the fact that 20 plus staff lost their job, but 300 staff lost their job. If you take in the comics that we book, you know what I'm saying? Like open 7 nights a week, multiple shows per night. That's a lot of money that people were losing, you know, doing the feature spots there. Yeah. So, you know what I mean? It was bad, you know. Yeah. It is bad. It still has been bad. But, you know, I feel like stand up comedy, this is another reason why it kind of intrigues me, or, you know, keeps me motivated or interested in the back end of it all. Because it's people who put together live comedy, these live experiences. Like comedy specifically is gonna be what I feel society leans on as we come out of this pandemic. Like we, between the pandemic, the social unrest, like the fucking political unrest, like everything that's going on, like what better orator of, you know, observing what goes on in the world and society, like stand-up comedy.
Laughter is good for the soul. I went to a show
at the Comedy Bar when they were starting to let people kind of go back out. It's like they started doing shows on the rooftop.
Yeah.
It was like one of their first shows. It was like one of the first three shows that they put together. And my wife and I and a couple friends all went out. And I was just like, let me see how it is. Let me see what, you know what I mean? Like, let's see how the rooftop shit works. Let's just see how people are reacting to the material. And a lot of the comics were just talking about, you know, life in quarantine and all that shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, people were fucking loving it. I mean, the vibe, the energy was like on 10. And I'm like, yes. Yeah. You know, yeah, yes. We're the shit. We bite.
Bite, baby.
And so, you know, and that, you know, Chappelle and, you know, obviously the goats of it, we look to, you know, 846 and, you know, all of these things. Yeah. And I can't wait for Cat Williams to come out with something talking about everything going on.
Yeah.
But, you know, people are really going to lean on, I feel personally, you know, not only just going out and being able to feel normal again and just like have a night out, friends and family, just like we used to.
Yeah.
But I think comedy specifically, people need to laugh.
Yeah.
Man. They need it. Like, we've been crying and mad and arguing and scared and afraid and all of these things that don't make you laugh and smile that, you know, the doctors should start prescribing that shit.
Yeah, you know, it's really cool, man, to kind of hear, like, what to answer your question with Darian, you know what I mean, like, how... What intrigues you about it? You know what I mean? Because it's realistically what I heard, and I'm sure Darian, it's a game, and that's what drives us. You know what I mean? That's what drives, you know, me, Darian, and I. You know, it's the thrill of the chase, so to say, of trying to mold something and kind of rebirth or make a good comeback story. You know what I mean? Like, because once you start doing something, and once it begins to be bland, you know what I mean? Like, it takes the fun away from. But now. Now we're rejuvenated. You know what I mean? Like you said something that was key. Yes. You know, the algorithm is different. So now you have to figure out how to build it up again. And I think that's the most interesting thing coming out of all this. You know, through all last year, Darian and I, you know, we faced that. You know, we faced it head on. And I think a lot of people might have ran away from it a little bit. But if you embrace it and kind of go with it, you never know what you can create. You know what I mean? Like, and that's fun. Yeah. You know, that's a very fun thing to do.
Yeah.
I think so.
And, you know, and people aren't going to be ready to come back out yet. Like, I'm ready to do it in a safe
way. I know you are.
You know, we opened it
safely.
Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? We put the social distancing, the plexi, but, you know, there's limited capacity. But, you know, people, there's still going to be a huge percentage of the population until we're fully vaccinated. I'll say we will never be fully vaccinated.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That staff, comedians, and consumers will still be hesitant, you know what I'm saying, on going out. We're doing the live stream stuff, which is great, and I feel like that does add to, you know, providing, you know, some content, providing some, you know, kind of sense of relief for people, but, you know, there ain't nothing like the real thing.
Ain't nothing like the real thing. Get it popping. Yeah.
I know It's gonna be a while before people really, until the, you know, population as a whole are comfortable with kind of coming out and being around a bunch of fucking strangers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you look at old music festivals and stuff, and like, I was looking at our wedding, you know, so our wedding was big. It was packed.
Yeah.
Looking at packed old Saturday shows, and, you know, just like people all up on each other, and like, you know, the things that we see now, we're kind of like, damn, like, you know, like, do we ever get back to that? Do we ever really, truly get back to being around strangers?
Right.
That entity.
Right. You know, I was looking at the Super Bowl, and I was thinking the same thing. I was like, damn, like, are we ever going to get back to these?
Wait, this is real people. Are you?
Yeah. No. They were fake.
They was fake. It was fake, and it was probably pumping in some fan crowd noise from the TV.
Oh yeah,
like, so that's probably what that was. Yeah, that it made that effect.
Yeah.
To kind of piggyback off both of what y'all was saying, Curtis, you got something in common with me and Dario that you probably didn't know that you said at the top. Me and Dario met at Best Buy. Like, we met for Best Buy too.
I was the CSI. When they started the triangle pyramid whatever program, I lost that title.
Yeah.
But I used to be a CSI, so I would work all the departments. I was like a floater.
Yep.
And so I would go, just like, they kind of call me, and I like rip and run. Yeah, I don't know if you know Jonah Jerkins. I worked with Jonah actually at a Best Buy.
Oh really?
That was like the first comedian that I've met. Before comedy, not for him, because he had moved here from Milwaukee. And I remember the whole dad fucking hated him because he was a comic, and he was like, "Nights and weekends, I need off, and I'll probably give like last minute notice if I get booked on shows." And like, "Oh, listen to that. Who the fuck does he think he is?"
Yeah.
Nights and weekends off, like, take off when you want. Like, the fuck kind of, who does he think?
They started calling them CSIs, but when the program first rolled out, they were just called CAs.
CAs, yeah.
That's all they were.
No, I'm sorry. No, I fucked up. I was a CA. No, you're right.
Yeah.
I was a CA at first. And then they changed it to CSI. Because they tried to put me in DI.
Yeah.
Wait, digital imaging. Digital cameras. And so they tried to put me in DI. And I'm like, I hated cameras. And also didn't really understand them.
Yeah.
So they had me take all those, like, courses. Those, like, back-end courses. But they wanted me to do it on the clock and work too, so I'm like, I don't have time.
Yeah.
I used to ask to be the to answer phones so then I could just like be on the computer and not have to like worry about talking to, you know, walking customers around so I could sit at the computer and do it. And then I actually got fired from Best Buy. I gotta say this shit, this is bogus as fuck. Because the GM and the assistant manager both got arrested for embezzlement. But these motherfuckers fired me because I brought my own SD card and printed pictures. I printed pictures from like some I mean, we're at like I think it was like Lollapalooza pictures or something.
I think
I was taking on a, you know, that, but I brought my personal SD card and used one of the floor printers to print the pictures off. And they was some bullshit. I bought the paper, I bought the you know, I bought the picture paper. I did, you know what I'm saying? Like I had my own SD card, but they fired me for printing the pictures on a floor printer, and I'm like, you bitch motherfuckers. And I came in just like, because I would, you know, I still was friends with almost everybody that worked there. And I worked at the flagship, the one on North and Clybourne. The day that I ended up coming in, they arrested the general manager and the assistant manager because they had been stealing petty cash basically for like 15 years or something like that. They had got like almost like $600,000 just in petty cash that they had just been pushing off of, you know, and it was like a long investigation and shit. Fucking Pablo, you bitch ass motherfucker. Like, I knew you were fucking dirty. And they ain't trying to fire me. I'm still like trying to save yourself shit, dude. Fuck me. And Steve. Pablo and Steve. I don't even know if Jonah even sees this. Yeah, Pablo and Steve got perp walked out that.
Let's go.
Well, the Bigsby hurting over here, boy. I mean, me and Dario both work in retail. It's the same thing now. Like I run a store. I went from 60 people to now what, 20 people now. So I had to let go of people. But when you come back out of this and having to deal with the public and having to bounce back, like people's livelihoods are at stake. And I think one thing now that we get to do in on this scene is we kind of get to think outside of the box of how we can bring entertainment to people and make it worth exciting and make it worth coming to see. So I think that's probably the fun part, like Dario was saying, is we just started to think outside the box. So it was, okay, well, we got time. Let's put another comedy album together. You know what I mean? And look what that did. I was out of nowhere. And a conversation of, oh, let's start a radio station, which was just some bullshit that we was just talking about. And look what happened. Like, you know what I mean? So I think it's just about thinking outside of the box. And, you know, people are going to get excited. People are going to lean on some form of entertainment to make them feel good. I mean, I'm looking at it now. With just running the store that I do, and people come and shop for that reason, you know what I mean. So, it's needed, and I can't. It's gonna be a good thing when we get to going.
You know,
for sure. And I can't wait to go back to the Nike store downtown, man. Like I've been digital retail therapy shopping over the pandemic. Yeah. I was like shoes like crazy, kind of save. We're moving into a house or whatever, but man, I can't wait to just go back to the Jordan store, the Nike store downtown. I also shop Lululemon, and I'm very proud to say it. Lululemon is one of the most comfortable brands of clothing that you will ever put on. And so I stay at the Lululemon.
Hey, they comfortable. They comfortable.
I shop online.
I'm not there either. I'm about to give eat me some raw chicken so I can drop 15 pounds. So that's some Lululemon. I'm a little
Lululemon. Lululemon allows you to gain the weight and still look how you feel like you need to look. You know what I mean? Like, so I picked up the 15.
You
picked when I dropped them with the COVID. You know what I mean? So,
this man said Lulu Cantaloupe. I'm done. Lulu Cantaloupe. Hey, you know what? You know what?
Watermelon.
A Lulu. A dairy and Lou water. A dairy and Lulu. A dairy and Lulu water. Hey, you know what?
Man, I got the Lulu Waterbill leggings on.
Hey, you know, I wanted to, I mean, because we have gone a long time, which is not a bad thing. This is a good thing. But, man, look, we had a couple segues in there. I think now's the time for us to kick our feedback. Curtis, I got a question for you. Can you tell the people, what? No.
Let him just do the honey worms first.
Okay, fine. Yeah.
with the flood part. You ready? You ready?
I'm ready. I'm ready, boss.
Are we at critical mass in the stream? I shut it down. We got, you know what I'm saying, make sure that we got as many people in the building as we can.
We got some more time because we gonna repost this shit too. But
he gonna edit this part. Right here.
I'm just letting you know. I'm gonna let you know right now. I'm gonna do a simultaneous drop live the moment he said. but we gonna do like Darian said. Darian, you go ahead and let's do the honey roast first, man.
Yeah, let's do honey roast first. So Curtis, anybody that's watching for the first time or listening for the first time, we gonna ahead and let Curtis have the floor with something that we call the honey roast. So basically. A honey roast is the opposite of what you used to do in school. You used to roast people in school. You used to talk about them, all right? And say all type of mean shit and bad shit. That's not what we do here. This is Be Positive, the Chicago stories, all right?
Let's go.
So with the honey roast, what we like to do is we like to let our guests shout out somebody that's not on the podcast that has either been an inspiration, motivation, or some support to them. So Curtis, pick somebody, multiple people if you like to. To shout out, say some positive words for them, and let them know that you appreciate them. Go ahead, sir. The floor is yours.
Yeah, off top, Nate Burrows, stand-up comic in Chicago, doing incredible work. Him and I actually just today dropped off 150 food boxes in a couple of neighborhoods. We were doing it weekly before the holidays hit, and we're back at it again. But he has been compiling, coats, boots, gloves, warming items for families in need, and I kind of came in and we started providing food boxes, like 30-pound food boxes with essentials for families. But Nate's been hard at work for like the past, I don't even know, starting a kind of a group called Morale Witch. So if you donate clothes or things for people in need, that his uncle was like a dope chef and he'll whip you up one of the best sandwiches you have ever had in your life. And it's just as simple as that. We're using the Laugh Factory right now as like kind of a makeshift warehouse to sort the, he drops them off and he sorts them and kind of picks them up and takes them around the city. So Nate Burrows, hats off, seriously, like it's I'm understating what he's really doing right now, and he's just doing it off the strength.
That's good work.
They don't want no recognition, don't need all that shit. So I'm giving it to him because he really truly deserves it. So yeah, that's the first. The second is, somebody else that's actually doing similar work on Instagram. Her name is Inglewood Barbie, I believe. She has, for a very long time, been helping out the homeless around the city and getting them resources, places to stay, bringing out hot food for them on like buffet style, really like treating them like the human beings that they are and deserve to be treated like. And she actually was recognized by Shaq most recently. I think WGCI gave her a shout out too this past week. They did like this 28 thing. I didn't really see exactly what it was, but I know she got some recognition. But Virgil Abloh dropped a bag for her to start a nonprofit, Hugs No Slugs, in the Inglewood community and just really kind of around the South Side. But yeah, she goes by Inglewood Barbie on Instagram. I've been following her from afar. I haven't had the opportunity to like collaborate and work with her on anything, but I would love to in any capacity that I could. But she's real as fuck. You follow her? You'll see what I'm talking about. Like,
I know.
All killing on there with that. And yeah, she's just like out there really, 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 really doing the groundwork and making sure that people that are without have.
That's deep. That's deep.
Let's talk offline. Offline about a few things, Curtis.
Yeah,
most definitely. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now we have reached the moment.
I'm unlocking the chains. Y'all need to go crazy like y'all was about that chicken.
Hey, look. This is Curtis's time. I'm gonna just keep thinking about the Curtis. You go ahead and do what you do, my man.
We was talking about basically providing something for people, right? And people have been locked up for a while, man. It was like a little tease, in August. We got to pop back up, put some shows together, and then right back shut down. But I feel like with the vaccine coming out and, you know, people slowly starting to take it, and Lori doing what she does and allowing, you know, indoor facilities to have 25 people, which is great for those businesses. You know, word on the street is that could be bumping up to 50 this weekend. Yep,
for uh-oh. Winter. Uh-oh.
You know, so, I, you know, so D-Lou, Dario, TJ, myself and the team at Laugh Factory, you know, we had some conversations behind the scenes, and I've been a big fan of the Be Positive movement. I'm very honored. Thank you very much for having me on the show today.
It's all us.
Kind of, I love being on the ground floor of something that's going to build and be huge. And much like that, I want to be on the ground floor and help something be huge. So I got my calendar here. I don't know if y'all can see that.
It's let's March. See. March?
And okay. Then I believe that if I turn it around, if you look at the 25th.
Oh!
That is Thursday.
Wait, did I say B?
March. B Positive presents. March 25th. I believe that's a Thursday.
That's a Thursday.
March 25th.
That's a Thursday.
Our Lord's year of 2021.
Let's go.
We got B Positive presents. Good vibes at Laugh Factory. Let's bring it.
Let's go.
Get the best of the best at the best.
Let's go.
Be the best. Let's get it.
Let's go. You heard it. He said it. Be Positive Productions is in the building. Let's go.
We free that day. We good. We free that day.
We free. We free. let's. Man, y'all hear it? Man, look. From me and D, let me just say, I'm going to tell you right now, Curtis, we told you, we talked offline, man, but it's truly an honor. We are all very grateful for the opportunity. And, you know, this is my second stint at Laugh Factory. So thanks for having me back, man. And you, we got a good group of guys that's willing to work. You already know what time it is with us, man. The work ethic. You're going to get all of it, man. You're going to get everything that Be Positive has to offer, man. So, we excited, man. We excited, people, to bring the vibe.
I'm excited as hell. Excited as hell. And I'm going to keep saying this. And I'm going to keep telling y'all this, okay? I didn't have to touch no damn mic or do no stand-up. All I did was sit my ass behind this podcast mic. And I'm... We doing it. Yeah.
It's so many, you know, it's so many different ways to get to your, I had to hit the mic just to be behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You know
what I'm saying?
Like, kind of initiation is that? I had to go through the initiation of bombing in front of people to really understand the art of a bomb. You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
But nah, you know, with you guys, and like I said, I've been watching from afar. And I've really been, you know, encouraged and motivated by the hustle that you guys put in. And Dario, obviously, we've worked together, mm-hmm. so I know the hustle that you bring is being a producer. And so showing love back to people who, you know, have supported and showed love to Laugh Factory, it was a no-brainer, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I think the vibe of the show, Good Vibes is the name of the show.
Let's go!
I know that's what you're going to provide. That's yes. what we want to bring back to the people. Because, like, we all need it. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Not just the people coming to watch the show. We need it, too.
We need
it. We need to be able to curate those vibes just to get them back. The energy gives, the energy receives. So, yeah, I feel like it's going to be an incredible experience. You know, you got the full support of me, the entire Laugh Factory staff, record label, and motherfucking crew.
Yeah,
and,
let's go.
Yeah, we
are excited. Let me just tell you, God, I mean, I think more importantly, you know, we this is another moment where we had a bunch of excitement right now. But to be honest with you, I think once our excitement came down after we talked, Curtis, it was all business. You know what I mean? Like all of us, we just said, all right, look, let's continue to do what we do. Let's you know, we're here for a reason. And let's have some fun. So, everybody out there, man, y'all, man, well, this is a weird spot also. I gotta be honest with you, man. I gotta be honest with you, because now, people have to understand, slight flex here, you guys see me at Zany's and Laugh Factory, so, I'm just saying, you gotta follow the schedule.
I will say this. There will be some weeks where we'll have one, 2, 3, 4, maybe even 5 shows in a week.
In a week.
Because, yeah, we're going to start to transition back to probably 2 shows at my buddy's. You'll have Zany's. We'll have a show every last Thursday, Laugh Factory. And then it could potentially be
the Saturday show. And yeah,
if we brought the Saturday show in.
So. And Darian, we haven't even told Curtis the best news about what we had planned for Laugh Factory. We'll talk to you. We'll talk to you about that off the air. All I can tell you is that
the Patreon people can't.
Actually, people can catch this on More to the Story that airs on Be Positive Radio. Oh, okay, yeah. But Curtis, we got something that all of this is gonna come to a head. All the things that Be Positive Production has throughout the month, it all comes to a head, and it's gonna end at your establishment, man. So, we'll talk to you about it. Yeah. We'll talk to you about it, and I know you can help us out with that. So that's gonna be fantastic. Man, we excited, y'all. Be Positive Podcast, y'all ready? Y'all ready? Y'all, the people out there listening, y'all ready? Darian, how you feel?
Curtis, can you plug yourself, man? Let us know where we can find you and all of that good stuff. Dario, excited. You forget this.
I'm forgetting.
The show.
Yeah. I didn't even talk about, you know, open books and the literacy programming that I do in the city. But, you know, I'm the senior manager of external relations. I guess I said what I do there earlier. Senior manager of external relations. Open books is a literacy nonprofit here in Chicago. We build home libraries and provide an access to books in communities that need them most, communities that are deemed book desert, communities that, you know, some would say are under-resourced or underfunded. And, you know, we really want to continue providing reading and writing resources and helping build home libraries in those communities. So go to open-books.org, find out more about Open Books, the program. Donate books, donate time, donate money. All of it goes to a worthy cause. Curtis Shaw Flag on all platforms, all DSPs. And social media platforms. LaughFactory.com. We got shows this week. We're doing the virtual thing. And then we're going to smack it up, flip it, rub it down.
Let's go.
Comedy. Coming at you first weekend in March 5th, if I'm not mistaken, will be our first live in-person show.
Let's
be coming back.
Let's go.
In effect, bigger and badder than ever. I love my wife. I love you, Maple Butters. Maple Butters never got a chance to make it, but maybe in the next one.
Yeah, it's all good. We could. I mean, honestly, we got a lot to talk about, and honestly, I think this is what the second ever longest podcast we've ever done. So this is good.
It's what you're doing with me. I was gonna talk my head
off.
We
love it. We love it. We just want. We wish we gotta. Because the stuff that you do outside of that is so good. And we talked about this at our Laugh Factory, Curtis. But what you do is so good, and it aligns directly with what we do. You know what I mean? When you remove the comedy aspect of it, you're doing a lot of good things for the community and for people to have opportunity, and also using comedy as a conduit. So which is a good thing. So we got to talk about that, man. Like that's not maybe not now, but we will definitely.
So you want to make it the longest podcast?
You know what? Fuck it. Hey, what's up? Look, I'm free. You know what I mean? Like I'm free. Let's revisit this because I feel like we have some stuff that we're gonna create together that we can't create, plus the idea that we have all that together, man. People need to hear what's going on, what you have going outside, and you know, I hope that you got your little your gift that we talked about. I hope you got your elevation. I won't say too much, man, but you know, just know. Just,
yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. You, yeah, I know you know what I'm talking about, man. But hey, y'all, that's the show. That's 44 for you, man. We gonna have some more with Curtis, man. D-Lou, what you got, man? Take us. What you got?
I would say this. One thing that I'm learning, man, as we go through these, we got through these first 3 chapters, is that, and I hope you guys are paying attention. you don't have to be a stand-up comic to get in this scene. You know what I mean? There's lanes that you can get into. We talked about it with Brian. We talked about it with Curtis. We talked about it with James last week. There's different lanes that everybody could fit in, and it's probably the epitome of what we love to say is we all can eat.
We can all
and
eat.
It's different tables and different plates that we can eat, you know, from. So listen, if you got a passion, man, and you know, Curtis said it himself, he realized, man, stand up ain't for me, but the behind the scenes is for me. You know, yeah. Brian said the same thing, like, hey, look, I love the behind the scenes. I love putting on the show. I love promoting. James loves making things come to life behind the camera, you know what I'm saying? Or whatever it may be. So,
yeah, shout out to James. He's doing our live stream. I'm sorry if we have upset his name enough now.
Yeah, you're good.
His
flowers, you're good.
James Webb is going to revolutionize the streaming game, the digital media game. And I'm just happy to be in the orbit of what he's doing. Yeah, but we're collabing on the show this Thursday.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's love.
And he puts
it just
go ahead. No, go ahead.
Oh, it just goes to show you, man, that there's different facets of, you know, there's different lanes that you can dabble in, man, to make this thing work, and still be able to exude your passion and support something that you love. Like, you know what I mean? So find your lane, people. Find your lane and ride in it. And if there's no lane for it, create a lane. You know what I'm saying? You looking at three people that kind of just created a lane. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For themselves. So,
yeah.
And the lane for us has gotten us at Laugh Factory. Start March 25th.
March 25th.
So, you know, man, anything is possible, as KG would say.
Anything is possible, y'all. Man, that, like, honestly, I'm almost... It's so much. There's
don't
so.
Cry.
I know. No. Because I'm thinking. I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, there's just so much more to talk about, man. There's more to the story. You know what I mean? There's more to the story. But that's what we got for now, man. I think D. Lou hit it on the head. Curtis hit it on the head, man. Just work. Just work. You know what I mean? Grind it out if you have to. Stick it out, man. It ain't easy, but if you put in the work, you're going to get to where you need to be, man. That's all I got, man. That's all I got. I'm excited, man. I'm hyped.
D.
What's up?
It's only February, bro. It's just February.
Damn it.
It's just February.
It's just February.
Look, let's go.
Yeah. Hey,
thank you, Curtis.
Thank you, Kurt. You know what I'm saying? On that note, that is Be Positive More Today. Oh, wait a minute. I almost forgot. Hold on. I'm going to do it right this time. Listen and subscribe to us on all these platforms: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Stitcher, Overcast, Radio Public. That's it. And there's more, but I don't have the graphics for them, and they don't pay me. But that's where you can listen to us. Please like, subscribe, rate, follow this man, Curtis. Follow us. Follow Be Positive Productions. Big things coming back, man. Curtis, we wish you all the best, man. Opening up early March. And get off to a fast start, man, because we on the back end with it, man. We got your back, man, at the end of the month.
It's going to be ready for you.
Yeah.
It's going to be ready for you.
Oh, and we'll be ready for y'all, man. So don't worry. Y'all, more information, you can find, you can follow, I'm sure, Laugh Factory Real coming soon. You can follow Be Positive Productions. D. Lou, I love you to death. Curtis, love you, my brother.
I know what it is.
Yes. And on that, I love y'all. Everybody, stay up. Y'all. Be positive, y'all. Peace. Who gon' stop me, huh? Who gon' stop me, huh?